I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Julian Joachim, 90s Premier League hero. Played for Villa, Leicester, Coventry, Leeds, and about a million non-league teams, including someone called Quorn, who I'm fairly sure aren't affiliated with the fake meat people. 42 Premier League goals, 9 caps for England under-21s, FA Cup runner-up, had a brief cameo in the film Hannibal when he appeared in a match on a TV in the background, plus, of course, author. But what will the book club think of his exceptionally titled You Must Be Joachim? Find out in today's Football Book Club.
Reading it is like a sort of beat poetry or like someone doing the weirdest Christopher Walken impression.
Do you remember that Little Britain sketch with Bubbles DeVere? That's Julian lying there.
Would you ever go to a Chinese restaurant called Walshies?
It's a pain in the ass writing this book. I think I'll just leave it here and just skip to retirement.
Hey, I didn't drink. I'm not a drinker. I'm a gambler.
Oh, nice. A nice noise to start the show. That's fancy. Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where instead of literary classics, each episode we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Joseph Heller, more Sebastian Haller.
Okay.
Jack, you're just gonna make ooh noises all episodes.
I never know how to respond until I know if you made it up or someone else made it up.
Yeah,
I've never made them up.
It's apart from the
first three series, wherever it was. Thank you to Jack Swindlehurst for that one.
Ah, it is well done, Jack.
Not an alias of mine like Ken Zong.
I think that one, you said hella weird, didn't you? Sort of went, hella. Yeah. like you were like you're a very
gent.
Posh man.
Yeah.
Hella.
Yeah. I'm Joseph Hella.
See, Jack, you heard posh voice, but I heard like Scary Spice. Hello.
Hella.
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 Hella. I'm Joseph Ella.
Joseph Ella.
Little insight into another book we'll be doing in the future. The Spice Girl Dwight York fancies the most. There we go. I'm James Burke, and over the weeks we'll be reading such classics as Alexi Lalas's Kicking Balls and Dominic Matteo's In My Defense. But today we're reading Julian Joachim's 2023 autobiography, You Must Be Joachim. And joining me to read it are Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
Natasha Frisco.
Hello.
And James Bowden.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Very well.
Pretty good. Can you just say that the name of the book again?
Be Joachim. It is good. This, like, we had Asamoah Gyan's Legendary, and we had Julian Joachim's You Must Be Joachim. 2023 was a good year.
This is
autobiography
better.
Titles. You think it's better?
There's a lot of ones that like work out loud, but when you see them written down, they're really bad.
Yeah. Yes.
This is the best one out of all of them, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, this is of all titles ever.
It actually works as a...
Better than Blood, Sweat and Macketeer?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this properly works as a pun. The only trouble is he's not that funny.
That's the essential problem. I think we've sort of...
Yeah. Joachim about what?
I think we've kind of all like manifested this book into existence. It feels like one of those ones the pun existed and someone was like, Julian, you have to write the book. And he was like, I don't want it. He was like, there is this podcast.
This is very much like, do you remember the really early days when we went on, a little name drop, Colin Murray show on BBC Radio 5. And I prepared like a game of real book, fake book. That was
that
it.
Was a real book,
and we never got around to doing it, I don't think. Because he just got us out of the office. It got us out of the studio.
Yeah, that was, but I, that was like, one, that was we had like the day before COVID, wasn't it? So he was like, don't fucking exactly, touch me. Yeah. We're like, hello there. Do you think The Long Road to Dougie Friedman is a real book?
He was like, exactly. That was the like, one I was going to bring
so
up.
I'm so worried about this flu that's from China.
But Long Road to Friedman. Good, right?
That was my favorite one.
It is a good one. Is it Long Walk to Freedom or Long Walk Road to Freedom?
I can't remember. Who knows?
It's a book. We only read the real books on this show. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but Julian Joachim is one of those footballers who's kind of burned into my mind because he was kind of prominent when I first got into football.
I fully agree. He is. So I had a book that was a... it was the Opta book from 1998-99, and I like really read it. And it's embarrassing how much I like burnt that stuff burned into my mind. And Julian Joachim was like a prominent player, but only Aston Villa. That's the only way I know him. I don't know him as Leicester player. Only know him as Aston Villa.
I also don't remember him as Leicester. Yeah, that must have been.
See, I got to be honest. Villa. Like as the resident like non-football fanatic.
I was going to say, yeah.
Never heard of this bloke until the book arrived on my Kindle. Never heard of him. But when you were saying like you must be Joachim, I was like, that's not real. He's having me on. He is having me on. He's made this one up, and this is going to be like April Fool's kind of thing.
Effort I go to commit to a bit, I write a whole book.
He wrote a whole
book. I believe that.
I was going to say, I think this one would have benefited from being written by James Buck in a dream.
Yeah. Well, don't give away too much yet, Jack. But it's a nice short book. At least we're giving not quite as short as Rohan's. Mm-hmm. It's clocks in about 155 pages, I think.
I don't know because you've got the book and I read it on Kindle, so I only know it in percentages.
Yeah, James.
James, people sign up to the book club, then we can afford more copies of the actual book. James, but for now, I get the book, you get Kindle version.
He was very much like
£3 cheaper.
Only I may have the real book. You must all have it. In sort of this bizarre nonsense book that is online, which like has not been formatted properly. You can't search this in Kindle. It's all over the shop. If you search Brian Little in this book, Brian Little doesn't come up because the way that they formatted this book means every single time Brian Little is written, it's actually Brian space 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 lit space space space
elite.
Yeah. It is reading it is like a sort of, it's like beat poetry or like someone doing the weirdest Christopher Walken impression. Or something like, I first signed for Aston Villa at the age of 21. It's
see, this is bad because I'm going to have to throw James Bowden under the bus here. Because when I got this book, I bought it for James, just James, just and said to him, can you quickly check? You're laughing.
That's
now.
How I read
Can you
things.
Check if it reads?
That's how my brain reads.
I said, does it look normal?
James,
because all the Amazon
that's
reviews,
normal for me.
James, I am in about 6 minutes' time, I'm about to rip you a new one because this book nearly gave me an aneurysm.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for six more minutes. Do I have to like fill the space between now and then? Or was that just an estimation?
It's okay, just an estimation.
Just like lunge get through the computer.
Let's read You Must Be Joachim. So, over the show, we're going to be going into the book in depth as a quiz and a dramatic reading. But first, let's see what Amazon is saying. The book has 3 stars from 6 ratings, including many 1-star reviews, including this one from Ant Parker. You might be able to sympathize with this, guys. Wouldn't let me read on my usual format, even when screen is locked. Can anyone advise?
Yeah. It's a bit like doing an escape room reading this book.
Interesting. Really is.
Is it really that bad?
Yeah, it is quite bad. However, I do just have one thing to say.
Yeah.
I went for dinner with my friend the other day, who's a writer, Ella Risbridger. Love Ella. Hi, Ella. But she was saying to me how she reads every Google review, every Amazon review of her book, and now it's made me really paranoid that like all these reviews that we read, like they're also reading. I never thought about that before.
Do you think they're listening to the podcast?
No, but I do think they're reading these reviews that we all take the piss out of. So now I feel bad about it.
Well, we're reading the reviews that take the piss out of them.
Yeah, we're taking the piss out of the reviewers.
We are the piss takers of the piss takers.
Okay, yeah. Fine. So we're doing
the one thing we shouldn't do.
We're much more tragic than the Amazon reviewers. They write like a sentence and then forget about it for the rest of their lives. We do an hour's recording.
What I should stop doing is posting the entire transcript of every single one of our podcasts in the book. I should stop doing that. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, under Basel Boy's name.
Yeah. People read it and they're like, hello and welcome to the Football Book Club.
Yeah,
Joseph, like hello.
You transcribed at the beginning like an advert for Now TV at the beginning. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, well, I'm very sorry you had to go through that. It does sound hellish. But, you know, could you get anything out of the book? Once you cracked this escape room of a reading process, because I found it quite a good book. I quite enjoyed it. I quite enjoyed reading about Julian's life, which is useful because that's what all 105 pages are.
Are we talking about how we liked it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. It was okay. Okay. It sort of has the element of feeling like a, I think it is literally because of the formatting, but the Peep Show where he makes his own book. And like it's just
Secrets of the Pharaohs.
Yeah, where you're Business Secrets of the Pharaohs, where you're sort of just like it's that thing of there is a good book within this, but then it feels so shoddily put together. Like it's a surreal experience reading it because there is an advert for a Leicester building firm at the start of it.
Yeah. And in my version, the end as well.
Yeah, and the end as well. Yeah.
Both
true.
Sides of the book.
And also,
Roofing and Builders, presented by Clive Turner. He's got a big, big, big 70s mop of hair. He looks like King Richard the First in Robin Hood.
Not a great builder, I'd say.
Not a great builder.
It's weird because also like the start of it, there's like a sponsor's message at the top. Mm-hmm, as well, mm-hmm. Which is a bizarre like concept. The idea, like, because we've had before, like people, you know, wanting to say like, special shout out to Costco. I'm looking at you, Marcus Hanneman. We've never had Costco say, "Hey, everyone,
this book is brought to you by Costco."
It's so weird, and also because the way the guy talks about it, he's like, "I used to love going to Filbert Street and watching all of my favorite players. I used to watch all back in the day. It was amazing watching them. They were so good. Julian was there as well. Anyway, enjoy the book."
And then his son went out with my daughter. Is what he said at the end. Is that right? I think my daughter went out with the sun. I can't believe it. One thing I want to say, though, in general, this book has, I think, the best opening line of any of the books we've ever done on the show. On 20 September 1974, Carl Douglas was top of the UK charts singing Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting. Meanwhile, my mum was having a fight of a different kind in Peterborough Maternity Hospital.
Perfect.
So good.
It's really absolutely good. Perfect.
And it's got a very good last line as well, which I won't ruin. Yeah. James, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I realise he's got the same birthday as me, so that put it up a notch.
Aww. Oh, your birthday is, let's figure this out, wait. What year was he born? 74, did you say?
Well,
so your birthday is the 14th anniversary of when Kung Fu Fighting was number one in the UK.
There is a hacker at home being like, "I'm so close to getting all the information I need about James Marshall."
What's your mother's maiden name, James?
Joachim.
But wait, so that's it, James. He's found out he has the same birthday as you, and that was your...
Well, that was a positive.
That was enough. Celestial ties.
I found when you asked me to have a little look at it to see if it was all right, my feedback was, words merged together a bit, but you could still read it. And you know, so the book works okay, shows up right size, etc. I went, yeah, seems fine. Sorry about
great.
That.
Oh, I will also say that this is the first time that James has sent a book to us where we've got an email that has said, like, this book has been loaded up for you and James wants you to read it. And that is very intimidating.
Is that what it says?
It was something,
on his email.
Yeah.
It was something like, James has redeeming loaded up a book thing. For you.
And I felt a little bit like we were being summoned to Squid Game or something. Yeah. Like, the way the email was sent was really intense.
You must be Joachim. You must attend. You must be Joachim.
Tash.
Yes.
I know you have some pretty strong thoughts about this book in general.
I do. And I'm going to start with a couple of positives, which is...
Oh, the police are here. Take you away.
Sorry, guys. I've moved to the rough end of Brighton. We're going to hear that a bit more these days. the ways in which Julian Durkheim and Kim Kardashian are the same.
Of course.
In that how every member of his family, they start the name with a J. In the same way that the Kardashians do it with a K. I really respect that. I like it. He is Julian Joachim. His mum is Janie James. His daughter's Jazzy.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
However, his mum's called Janie James.
Janie James. What? Good Janie name, James. Right? Yeah.
Janie James Joachim.
Yeah, but he does have the middle name Kevin. And
yes,
I think
I
adding Kevin, even if your name's Julian Joachim, Kevin in the middle of it is a real... Anyway, whatever.
Zero stars.
Zero stars. I wanted to talk about how this book is basically when you're in the pub with your mates and you've had three pints and you go, I want to write a book. I think I've had a really interesting life. That is exactly what happened with this book. He was in the pub with that fella. What's his name, Jack? The builder man. Clive Turner. He was in the pub with Clive Turner and he went,
he said, I've got a page turner for you.
Yay! Do you know what, mate? I think you've got a book in you. There's a book in you somewhere. We've all had this conversation, you know.
Yeah.
And some of us take it too far, but he's one of these guys because
he took it too far.
Right. He basically, I don't know if you can call this self-publishing because it's sponsored publishing. So it's essentially just like big SponCon. He's just a big influencer for
big
that.
SponCon.
Okay. Big SponCon for roofing and builders by Clive Turner.
But there's also
all this is a vehicle for that. Yeah, exactly.
Well.
All this is a vehicle for all of the ads. He's no, but he's the Molly May of football. Like he has this big platform, this book that I think we're probably quite a big portion of the audience for, but he has this book and it's just a way. It's just a vehicle for these people. And go on.
I'm rushing to his fence. I think it's the other way around. I think he just wanted to be able to get the book out.
I
don't think he's in the grips of Clive Turner.
I do. And I also think he's in the grips of all the car dealerships in the Midlands as well. All the car dealerships are in there as well.
He does love name dropping a car dealership.
Lots of car dealerships are in here.
He does, yeah.
And essentially what they've done is they've sat in the pub and they've gone, come on, give us some stories. And he's gone, oh, remember that time I was picked over David Beckham for the England team?
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone, whole chapter. And we're going to call it like Hannibal Lecter Kung Fu Fighting or something insane. And people are going to love it. They're going to read it. It's going to be amazing. Only Foals and Horses, all the puns, like all the pub quiz team names that were going on around them while they were sat in the pub, they've used as chapter titles. And do you know what? I respect it because I do think that they had a lot of fun writing this book.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I agree.
Was Clive Turner involved? Was he typing it up?
I was going to say.
I think.
On a broken keyboard.
No, I do. I think this book is Julian sat like, do you remember that Little Britain sketch with Bubbles DeVere?
Oh, yeah.
Like, on a chaise lounge.
What a record.
Julian. That's Julian lying there. And then you've got Clive Turner, who's a little bit of a Dwight Schrute. Like,
Matthew Mann wrote
Matthew
it.
Matthew Mann is the one who.
Matthew Mann's a cover for Clive Turner. Clive Turner was there with his big hair, and he sat there typing it up, going, "Tell me more, Julian.
If you're going to come up with an alias, you're not going to call yourself Matthew Mann.
Matthew Mann. Who are you going? Wait.
I'm just one of those standard men. You hear?
What
about.
Am I, man? Yeah.
Matthew Mann has also written an alternative history of what would happen, like if Leicester won a title.
Yes,
Which sounds incredible. Like, it's sort of be there being like, the year is 2070. Humanity has...
What's that TV show where, like, it's as if, like, Hitler won? It's like that. Oh,
basically the man in the high tower?
Yeah, the man in the high tower.
If Leicester won the FA Cup in 1930, cut to, like, a desolate England in 1960.
One other thing that I do think is the main issue. My main issue, and we have already touched upon it, is the kerning, the space marks. Reading this book, I had to read like three chapters out loud because I couldn't work out where the spaces were, and I just kept like getting thrown back a bit. But yeah, I mean, I knew that this was a sort of drunken ramble when... I realized that in the first chapter, he's saying like things are incredible, they're exceptional, they're amazing. He's using all these lovely qualifiers. But by page 131, this man is effing and jeffing like you've never seen. And he's on pint number 5 by this point. And he is throwing them around. He can't remember anything. Like, who knows that it was 1:15 p.m. when they left the house 6 years ago? He doesn't know this. He's pulling it out of his arse like a drunken man. And every match that he plays seems to end 2-1.
Every season also seems to end with them finishing 6th and 10 points off the finishing 10 points off the playoffs.
He remembers one football match and one result, and he just regurgitates it somehow for about 200 pages.
And Clive Turner's there going, this is gold, all gold. Yeah, should I just randomly change the font here, Julian? Sure.
I think you want a bit of serif here. We're done with sans serif.
I find this incredibly harsh.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. We all love a sort of slow afternoon in the pub, having a few pints, like hearing each other's stories. We all love that. But sitting there watching it from the sidelines is really boring. You need to be a part of it for it to be interesting.
So did you read this drunk?
If you read the book and weren't visualizing a pub fire, well, would you have enjoyed the book more, do you think?
Maybe.
The image that you have in your head throughout the whole thing?
Maybe, like, before we do the Patreon, I will sit and read it and have the same amount of pints that I think they had and see if that makes me enjoy it more.
I will say there's a bit later on where he says, where someone says, you were drunk that night. He says, hey, I didn't drink. I'm not a drinker. I'm a gambler.
He does like a little dabble.
Son might be a communist. he is not a porn star.
Is that when they say he's hammered and he's like, I can count how many times I've been hammered on my fingers. Like, so you've been hammered at least 10 times. That's quite a lot. It's quite a lot.
And also, are you counting them while you're hammered? Because, you know, lots of fingers there.
See, I think the opposite is what happened. But I think Julian, he says to himself, he hasn't had loads of money. He hasn't spent his money very well. I think he just desperately wants to try and get this book out. And he was sponsored by lovely Clive Turner, who looks like Robert Plant / King Richard the Robin Hood. And then they put out a fairly inoffensive, interesting book. I think that
Clive could have pushed it a little bit further. Like, there have been a few things where you could have been like, and then at that point, our promotion efforts fell apart like a badly made house. Certainly not one made by Clive Turner Building Associated.
.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a...
You didn't do that?
No.
Do you know what else I did? Just one other thing quickly, something that I enjoyed and something that I think we need to keep track of. All these mad jobs that they make young footballers do when they first start. I love reading about it in every book. Like, you know, the cleaning the shoes, and each one of them seems to get progressively worse. Like, we should work out who had the worst time.
I think Danny Higginbottom might have had the worst time.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because there was, or rather, when he was at United, there was some horrible stories that he was just like laughing off, being like, oh, you know, that's just how it was in those days, where they like would pelt balls at players and one guy blacked out because he was being hit. So, and it's stuff where you're like, oh, that's torture.
Maim Dennis Wise.
that's true.
That's probably really bad.
I forgot about that.
Did Danny Higginbottom send us a message once?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He sends a lot up to the live show.
I was just sitting there thinking, did that happen? There's no way that happened.
What a roller coaster we've been on.
That was pre-COVID as well, wasn't it?
That was literally, again, that's 3 days before COVID.
That caused it. Jack, something we haven't had before in any of the books, I don't think, is every chapter kicks off with like a little tribute from another colleague that Julian played with. People like Mark Tinkler, Ewan Roberts, John Eustace, which I really enjoyed. However, Jack, I know there was like a defining characteristic that jumped out from these descriptions.
I think it's very sweet, and I think that it's very well-meaning, and I do, and I like appreciate it. You know, you've got like people, like lots of people contribute, and Brian Dean, you've got I can't remember who else, Tommy Wright, I think. Lots of people have sort of talked about him, but they all say basically the same thing, which is he is really silent. He's like, he didn't say very much. He's quite a quiet guy. He keeps himself to himself. It does sort of make him sound like a serial killer, which I don't think it's the intention, and I don't think it's necessarily like it is a bad thing, but I don't think it's, I just wish, again, it's that thing of like, maybe a sub-editor could have come along and been like, maybe some of these we can make him, you know, we could take it out so it doesn't quite, like, it doesn't come across quite so badly here. Like,
you're saying Matthew Mann didn't do a thorough enough job? Matthew Mann or Matthew Clive Mann Turner, aka Matthew Mann.
Who knows? Was too busy thinking of his alternate history of Leicester City. So it says, I think this is the first one, which is
Emil Heskey was 1,000 feet tall.
I think this is the first one. I'm not entirely sure who started it, but it says, off the pitch, he is a quiet, shy person who keeps himself to himself. While some of the lads were quite rowdy, Julian was happy, sitting in the dressing room, lost in his own thoughts, chuckling away. Which is...
Aww.
Well, you say, aww. I think that sounds like the kind of... That's the sort of thing they'd say. Well, yes, he was always a very quiet neighbour. Which, again, I don't think that's true of Julian, but I just think the impression that these little paragraphs give is where it goes. I mean,
they're a bit like Channel 5 documentary about like looking back at
we should have
had like bodies in his pipes or something.
We should have seen the signs.
Hey, don't knock Clyde Turner's pipes. No bodies in those pipes. I always enjoy it when Tash enjoys a book so much she just makes a new book up instead.
And this is a weird one where Julian's a serial killer and Frank is helping dispose of the bodies. I like it. Or Clive, rather. He's not Frank Turner.
Frank Turner is that. They all do. You're right. They all say three things. He's very, very quiet, very fast, and absolutely stinks.
Yes. Every single one also said, that's the other thing, is that they say, like, oh, he's the silent assassin. And you're like, the first I read that, I was like, oh, that's a strange way to describe him. Sort of makes it sound like he's, he has some kind of bowel problem. He does have some kind of bowel problem.
He farts all the time.
He farts all the time in this book.
And he's proud of it. He's proud of it as well.
But he doesn't say a lot. It's weird because I don't think, he doesn't talk about it very much. It's mostly other people talking about it, so I don't know if he is proud of it. He's proud of it to the point that he hasn't taken out their references to it. But it's like what's really weird is you're reading this book and it's sort of just a guy being like, hello, I'm a normal guy, and then every 10 pages someone comes along and goes, this guy farts like crazy. And I won't stop farting. And then you have to go back into this guy's life where he's like, hello, I'm normal, I'm a good guy.
I have to say though, like, imagine either how boring you are or how bad your farts have to be for that to be within, like, he's only asking people for like 250 words.
Yeah, farts are a big thing.
Yeah, it's got to be. Which one do you think it is? Do you think he's that boring, or do you think the farts are that bad?
I think it's the farts, because I think I think footballers are inherently stinky people quite a lot.
Do you think?
The changing room. No, not. I think they smell beautiful when they're out in the town, I'm sure. But I've sniffed a player. They smell good.
You smell Anton Ferdinand. You smell.
They smell delightful that night. However, in a changing room environment, you know what boys are like, doing their laddie pranks and farting all over each other. To be the one who farts the most out of the farters, I think that suggests he's a big, big farter.
There's one where they the description of it is like he would come into his room, he come into the room and announce himself, and it just give everyone a flavor of him, and you're like, that is that is like,
now that sounds serial killer. That sounds like something from Hannibal.
Oh, I've got quite the flavor. Surely you won't sample a bit of my flavor. Horrible. But I mean, apart from that, he comes across very well.
Yeah, I agree. He does come across very nicely. He seems very compliment. No one has a bad word to say about him at any point, really.
Well, they do. They have the smell.
Apart from the stink. But people only have like two or three bad words to say about him. And he's never any trouble. He seems to work hard. The old man just seems to like him. He seems to just get on with his job.
Yeah, I was sort of wondering about that, because yes and no. Like, he sort of says, like, oh, you know, I kept my head down. But he does fall out with a few managers. And I don't, like, I think that is...
Big fallout with one, doesn't he? Who was it? I can't remember.
He has a bad fallout with, well, pretty much all of
John
them.
Gregory? John Gregory
has an awful fallout with. Yeah, where he, where basically, because John Gregory doesn't allow him to play for the Grenadines, I think.
St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
He gives a quote to Sky Sports, which is, he has shat on me, which
which kind of Julian means a lot.
It's such, well, cause he actually says that. He says that at the bottom. He's like, I'm quite a laid back guy, and for me to say I shat on him, that is unprecedented.
Notice I didn't say fart, which is a noble act.
Yeah. But he, like, it's weird because there's a weird contrast, and there's a sort of weird thing in this whole book, which is kind of like the unspoken thing, which is that Julian does, like, he has a good, you know, good relationship with Brian Little, but he has a bad relationship with Mark McGee, a bad one with John Gregory, a bad one with Eric Black, and at least initially, and then Ian Blackwell, and then Gary McAllister. So clearly, I think those clubs are also going through quite a lot of stuff.
Oh,
but it's sort of
God, the Gary McAllister stuff. I forgot about that. Where McAllister like takes a chunk of his leg out in training
and goes sorry,
and then it gets so bad his kids like bully his kids at school or something. It's really weird.
It gets really weird. Like,
I take back
thing.
What I said. You're right. He did fall out with a few people more than I credit for. I read this book like a month ago and I have forgotten pretty much everything.
You just all you remember is farts, farting. Yeah. Quiet farts, and also you remember how easy it was to read for you.
it was a delight. It was a delight. I whistled through about 155 pages like a sneaky fart of a changing room. Anyone got an out of context Julian Joachim for me?
No, because it took me so long to read it that I didn't bother separating any of the words.
Fair enough.
I like this one. Hang on. I remember the first time I heard my name chanted, Julian, while I was playing for Leicester, which gave me a real boost. That chant followed me round clubs. The chant Julian. People saying Julian followed you around clubs.
I was very sure you were going to say, wherefore art thou Julian, after the second one. Jimmy Belgian?
I was just thinking it would have been sweet if he had the old chant, oh, jockey fart pants. That would be brilliant.
Oh, yeah, because jockey's his other nickname, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Because of his, what is it? His small stature and his, I can't remember. Why is
love
it?
For horses. Love for horses. No, love for horses. I said that's a joke, but I actually think it is because of his love for horses.
Yeah.
James, have you gotten out of context?
We were well on our way to victory when they got a third equaliser through a dodgy referring decision. I think he means refereeing. Just didn't check that. Just left it.
I noticed he said it zapped my energy at some point, as opposed to sapped as well.
Oh, that's quite like that.
Me too. Zapped. Does that sound good? Yeah. I have a quick one, which was, you have to be fast to catch chickens, and that might be where I got my pace from.
That's nice.
I will give you no explanation of that. Time now for a break, but when we return, we'll be heading to Steve Walsh's Chinese restaurant.
Bloody hell.
Hello, James here, and we at Football Book Club want you. That's right, you, to join something special, something exclusive. We want you to join the Football Book Club Club. The Football Book Club Club is the home of even more Football Book Club action, and now it's cheaper than ever to become a full member at just £3.50 a month. There's three tiers. By signing up to our Bookworm tier, you get an exclusive members-only episode of Football Book Club every fortnight, filling the gap between regular episodes with more book club fun and, frankly, a frighteningly deeper analysis of whatever book we're reading the episode. Plus, you get access to all the bonus episodes recorded so far. There's over 20 of them on there. Well, 20. And most excitingly, you'll get your hands on a special edition Money Can't Buy bookmark you can put inside your personal copy of Darren Huckabee's Hux. All that for just £3.50 a month. For context, that's a tenth of the cost of a cameo message from Ian Dowie. And a cameo is what, 30 seconds? For that price, you get 10 episodes. That's 3.5 hours of content. I dread to think what you have to pay to get 3.5 hours of content from Ian Dowie. You'd have to remortgage your house. But I digress. And if that's still not right for you, if you really love the show, you can join the Super Bookworm tier. And if you like the show but don't want to pay that much, you can support the show for just £1 a month on the Casual Reader tier. You won't get the bonus episodes, but yes, you will get that bookmark. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub for more details. So if you enjoy the show, please consider joining up. It really does help us to keep making the show, because books don't grow on trees. But they are trees, kind of. And trees are expensive. But the Football Book Club isn't. So join today at patreon.com/footballbookclub or by following the link in the episode notes. See you back at the clubhouse.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to Football Book Club, where we are still reading Julian Joachim's You Must Be Joachim. Wearing thin yet? That title.
Oh, you mean the concept of the podcast? Yeah.
That was a long time ago. So I want to bring up something. So we've kind of in passing mentioned his career at Leicester and Villa. You know, we've mainly mentioned Clive Turner so far in the podcast. But something else I wanted to bring up, kind of tangential to that, is Julian's business ventures. Because we get a sense of this occasionally. Mm-hmm. In books that we read, because footballers obviously, I don't know if you know, but they've got a lot of money and they have a lot of people coming to them with opportunities throughout this. And Julia's quite honest in the book and says he didn't invest particularly well. The first two ones to mention, just quick ones. One was he invested in a racehorse who always had nosebleeds, so he had to retire it. That was one. That was very sad. His horse was blood dripping down his nose. Yeah, we'll take that one. And then
I'm just so excited to be here. I'm so sorry.
And then he also invested in the film industry. Generally the film industry.
That was such a weird thing where it was like the government told me to invest in some film industry and apparently it went south.
I couldn't figure out what that meant either.
Back in the noughties, everyone was investing in the film industry.
I couldn't. Tony Blair kept calling me.
What film was it that tanked it? What do you reckon it was?
Girl 2. It's very vague, isn't it, that bit?
He's just like, going,
the
three,
tax man was still chasing me like years later for a six-figure sum. It's like, what did you do?
Yeah.
How has that happened?
What happened? It is so weird, that bit. What could that possibly really have happened?
I have no idea. But the worst investment of the lot is this week's dramatic reading.
So,
as I find the page, could somebody please cue the dramatic music?
Should we cue it in the style of this book?
Gosh, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. I like that.
Go on.
Cue. Dramatic music.
Thank you very much, Jeff Bernhardt. This dramatic reading is called Julian Joachim Becomes a Restaurateur.
Oh, buddy.
It was during the 1998-99 season when I got involved in a Chinese restaurant in Leicester. I become friendly.
Sorry, I love the way that starts, as if there are people being like, oh, brilliant, he's talking about it. Yes, good.
And also, this is like after just talking about the season with Aston Villa. There's nothing else. He's not even at Leicester at this point, and there's nothing like leading up into this. It comes out of nowhere. I become friendly with a Chinese bloke who had found a vacant restaurant on New Walk in the city centre. He asked me if I wanted to invest with him. I thought, why not?
Well, I was going to invest in the film industry.
But now you come to me with this enticing offer. It had been shut down for 6 months and the building was up for lease, so I bought in with him. Everything about this is like red flag.
Yeah.
We called it Happy Valleys. He ran the day-to-day, named after the BBC series, he ran the day-to-day operations, and I put the money in. I'd go there 3 or 4 times a week to eat, show my face, and talk to the customers. A Chinese restaurant and a Premier League footballer doesn't sound like the best combination, but luckily, I've always been able to eat anything I want and not put weight on. Again, just slagging off the food. Slagging off the food. Okay, any old shit. Come to a restaurant.
That's why he's farting so much. Jesus Christ. Four Chinese a week.
Did you enjoy that flavour? Well, if you did, come down to Happy Valley.
A few things went wrong though, surprise, and my mate had to sell up, so I contacted, he hasn't even got a name, this Chinese man.
That's suspicious.
It's very suspicious. So I contacted my old teammate Steve Walsh, who bought his share. Of course, if you're going to invest in a Chinese restaurant, you go to Steve Walsh. Chinese food.
You go to you and Robert's to ask if what's happening to your son when he's ill. You go to Steve Walsh.
Good reference.
It's so weird though. Why is he like? I think I would have jumped out at that point. Surely, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think I'd have started this venture, to be honest, but.
Well, seeing as the reason he bases it on is the next line is we formed a good Stripe partnership and thought we could become successful business partners too.
That's how it works.
Do you think
people ever think that's the other way around? Alan Sugar and his apprentice are like, do you want to play up front for Spurs?
that is the worst bit. We renamed the restaurant Walshies. And things started off well. We're reasonably busy and making a couple of quid, but didn't last long. Like, two things. First of all, why has Steve Walsh got his whole name in this thing and not Julian Joachim hasn't got anything in the title? And secondly, would you ever go to a Chinese restaurant called Walshies?
Walshies.
I cannot think of anything worse. Walshies Chinese.
I was gonna head to Walshies for a chat. No, I feel ill.
I agree. It reminds me of this one in Chelmsford in a bus station where it was like £4 to go in for a buffet or whatever in that kind of place. And you you're just not sure. You're not sure.
It's run by a former Premier League footballer.
Probably.
These are the sorts of places that, like, I'm just going to let you in the mind of teenage girls in the noughties. We used to go into these places in the hope that we get like a little bit of food poisoning so we could fit into a dress on Saturday night.
Oh, Sash, I hate it.
That's horrible.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well, I'm luckily sure for Julian Joachim, he's
Walsh sounds like that sort of place.
I am almost totally sure. And we can't even get sued by Walsh because it doesn't exist anymore. So
yeah. Yeah, I
think you can get the food poisoning of your dreams.
Yeah.
It did fairly badly. Anyway, the restaurant, as you might not be too surprised to hear, it was ruined, basically. Except for one night, I think, and I've done a bit of reading between the lines here as well, because I noticed in John Eustace's tribute at the beginning of the Coventry chapter, he said he was well liked among the squad and did this is about Julian, as though he's died, it sounds. He was well liked among the squad and did generous things for us all the time. R.I.P. He was well liked among the squad and did generous things for us all the time. He took a group of us to Leicester once, telling us that there was a lovely Chinese restaurant that he knew.
This is so embarrassing.
Oh, I know a good little place. What's it called?
Walshies.
Walshies.
Why is it called Walshies?
Very authentic Sichuan cuisine.
It's weird that it's called Walshies. And you used to play with a player called Walshy, isn't it? Yeah, that is weird. That is strange.
Probably a coincidence. Anyway,
really, really fill your boots, guys. Eat as much as you want.
Tell all your friends.
But I do think that I hope he's quite an earnest guy, you know? So it feels like it's the type of thing, like, you know, there's also, you know, he seems like the kind of guy who, I say seems like, he says it in the book, like he sends his kids to private school and he like makes a real point of like giving as much money as he possibly can to all of his kids and like really like, he's just spoiling them at one point, like going to this bit where he says it was great to go to Disneyland and see the kids and they got to meet all of their favorite characters, which again makes him sound like a serial killer, but you know, like he clearly wants to give and he wants people to have a nice time. It's just that you are also like, I think it's also that thing where you know that his career didn't last as long as it could have, or that the amount of money and all the rest of it, so you want him, like, while you're reading that you're sort of like save some and it'll,
it's,
you know,
it's a bit like the start of an ITV drama when like this would happen and then he'd turn into some sort of drug dealer.
Yes,
like Breaking Bad version of like,
yeah, this, and, I mean? And someone would be like going like, you sure you want to spend all this money? He's like, it's only money.
And he's like, okay, it's only money, and then he accidentally falls into it, and maybe this is just the start of a real like really interesting saga.
Or Gary Walsh and Julian Joachim cooking meth in a
exactly.
Welcome to Walshy's Meth Lab.
An industrial
guys, I know a really great meth lab in Leicester. Really? Yeah, let's all go. Put it away, boys. Your money's no good here.
Why is this chop suey blue? Don't worry about it.
And after his failed business ventures and his time at Leicester, Villa and Coventry, things kind of wind down a bit, James. Is that right?
Yeah, wait. Firstly, before I move on from that, I just want to know a little bit more about that random Chinese man, because there's no mention whether this man has any knowledge of how to run a Chinese restaurant.
That's true, yeah.
He's just a Chinese guy.
Makes an assumption.
Like,
yeah.
Want to open a Chinese restaurant? And there's no further explanation ever of that guy. It's crazy. So he's at Boston. Where's he at before Boston?
Leeds. Leeds,
yeah. So he goes to Boston.
He's at somewhere else as well.
He goes to Walsall on loan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his career's sort of petering out a little bit, isn't it? He's at Boston doing quite well, which is where he started, I think, isn't it?
He's born in Boston. Yeah, I'm not sure if he's
so he's from there. Yeah, and you had links to it. And they get into financial troubles for Sam to dial in turn. And he says that although it was going to be a big upheaval, he couldn't turn down the, I think it was $4,000 a week they were offering him at that stage of his career. Probably because he's still paying off a 45K lease for an empty Chinese restaurant.
which is, and of course, ridiculous. The film industry tax men are chasing him as well.
He could use that Chinese restaurant as a set.
Yeah,
that's very true.
Solved everything.
But the weirdest bit about this section is this book was published in 2021, right? Was it 2021?
No, 2023.
So even more recently, and there's no mention of the 16 clubs he played for after King's Lynn.
This is an exceptional point, which I noticed only when I was putting together the fact file for the beginning.
That's
mad. Yeah. Yes. I had to look at him like I often do.
16.
Yeah.
And 16.
And what's the level?
Very much non-league.
Pretty bad. It's all sort of around like Leicestershire, sort of Lincolnshire area, or like Derbyshire.
That's mad.
He's playing for all different clubs around there. Also, it's misleading. It says he plays for Montpellier, and I was like, what? But I don't think it's that one. It's just... Yeah.
He had a brief period in Ligue 1. This guy playing really well for Quorn in Yorkshire.
Yeah. Wait, get his Wikipedia up. It's crazy, though.
That's mad. But what's weird about it is that he sort of says in 2008, he's like, okay, yeah, I moved to King's Lynn. And then he says, and then I realized I was no longer a professional football player. So I decided...
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, there we go, that's it.
I think the emphasis on the word professional, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The fact that he's not like, you know, we've read... Neil Redfern's book where he talks about playing for 1,000 teams or whatever it is.
That's
so
very
it's
true.
2008, 2009. He's playing for King's Lynn. He leaves King's Lynn. He plays for Thurmeston Town, Quorn, Hinckley United, Hull Beach United, Boston United, Colville Town, Hull Beach United again, Audley Town, Shepshed Dynamo, Hullwell Sports, Newark Town, Montpellier, not that one, Radcliffe Olympic, Oslochan and Austin. Europa Point, I think they're in Gibraltar, and Bourne Town. He plays on more than 100 more games.
That's
just
amazing. That sounds like, by the way, up until
2017 as well, I think, or something, right? Is that right?
That list sounds like a regional railway in Leicestershire.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's like he's got to that bit of the book, King's Lynn, and he was like, do you know what? It's a pain in the ass writing this book. I still have to go back and separate the hundreds of words I've merged together. I think I'll just leave it here and just skip to retirement. That's what it sounds like he said at that point.
Yeah, in Tash's analogy, he at that point he'd had one too many and just couldn't.
Yeah. Just couldn't be bothered.
Just couldn't write. Yeah. Just collapsed.
Yeah.
Fell asleep in the pub. Next morning he woke up, his book's been published.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played for Montpellier, you know? And he's like, no, I'm not putting that in.
It would have been nice to hear more about that side of his that background.
Yeah, I agree. So
we don't get enough of that kind of journeyman.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. Those random clubs. But yeah, that was sad. But then he had to declare himself bankrupt around 40, when he was about 40, I think.
Yeah.
And sell all his memorabilia, which is really sad. There's a really sad line where he says, I was sad to see it go, but I've still got the memories and no one can take that away from me.
Oh, that is sad.
That's really sad. But then he ends with a philosophical speech about how fortunate his career has been.
Yeah.
Kind of ruins it. He says this really nice passage and that at the end... Well, actually, you were going to talk about this last line, weren't you?
I thought it was a really good last line, actually. But only with the context of something from the episode, from the book. So yeah, read the line, James. Sorry, read the line. That makes more sense.
After all, I could have spent the last 30 years in a field picking Brussels sprouts or catching chickens for a living.
What? The end.
That's it. I don't think that's a job. Is it? What's he thinking of? Badges.
Sunday roast catcher.
Yeah. He has. It does sound very Roald Dahl kind of career.
I have in my notes. Why does this sound like a Roald Dahl book?
It does. It does. Yeah. It's like if Roald Dahl was a career advisor. Okay, well, you'll be a Brussels sprout picker.
You can be a footballer, Brussels sprout picker, or a chicken catcher.
He has Becoming a Fox is one of his chapter titles. Yeah. Like they do all sound very Dahlian.
Also, I was reading about Roald Dahl this morning because did you know he was 6'6"?
Roald Dahl?
No, he's not. He is. Oh, Roald Dahl. Sorry, I think it was Julian Joachim.
Oh, no. Roald Dahl.
Yeah, wow. Roald Dahl was almost as tall as Pete Crouch. It's mental.
Really?
Yeah, 6'6".
But he had a great touch.
Great touch. Yeah.
He was shit at the robot, though.
But so he did those jobs as a kid, training, basically, right? Yeah. The Brussels sprouts and the chicken thing. But Did you gently miss this? Is this why?
I missed that. That's why it made no sense to me. I was like, what is he on about?
I can see why that'd be very good.
He's making up a fake job and shitting.
He went to work for his Uncle Charlie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't remember that bit.
Yeah, that was Yeah, suspicious. You made this has been extremely depressing episode. say the book actually, I think, in general, that's because we're at the end of it now. I actually think it's quite lighthearted, most of it. Really, it's quite a nice journey through his career. But we've somehow managed to make him come across as an insolvent.
I kind of like that he's telling this story because, like, the only ones that we ever hear are the people that become massive successes because they're the people that write books. It's quite interesting to hear someone that, you know, has gone on to do other things and, like, didn't reach those heights.
Or even they are people who had a relative amount of success, but then sort of look back and go like, yeah, but I, you know, it was all roses really, or it was all really good.
Yeah.
He's quite open about, like, you know, the mistakes he made with the gambling.
Yeah.
Which is, and then also to be able to at the end of it go like, you know what, it is pretty amazing that I got to play football. And I barely remember any of it. Apparently.
Yes.
He'll be like, I looked up a goal recently and I was like, how do I do that? Anyway, you're like,
that goal is incredible. He talks about when he got around the keeper and he got it in from an incredibly tight angle. It is a brilliant goal. I saw it weirdly because, you know, phones know everything about us. It kept popping up on my Instagram soon after I read this book, but I think it was a coincidence. And I think I liked it or something once and it kept going out. But yeah, it is an incredible goal. Can't remember who it's against, but it's a brilliant finish.
I'll look it up. No, I won't.
There we go. Did it change you? Did it make you less likely to download a book that I've given you the download link to?
I would say so. It makes me trust James.
Do you think it was a virus that I sent you?
The quality control that James did. It really makes me doubt that.
Because I would have sent you all the book had he told me it was a disaster to read. But because James was like, that's fine.
I was quite enough
for the Kindle.
It was more like you could read it, and if you read too much at once, you'd feel like you're having an aneurysm. But if it was in little spells, it was all right.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually kept me engaged.
This book. Yeah.
No, yeah, it kept me engaged because I had to pay full attention at all times.
For you guys who've got the Kindle version, you know, when you search a word.
That was the problem.
It's worse then. Have you seen, like, it merges all, let me just read you an example.
The search function is not.
So if I search Walshy, and I'll just read a sentence to you here. Okay. Walshy was the skip errand a pro Earl Ada.
He did what, Pearl Harbor?
Much risk from his teammates. Like, it's literally gibberish when you search. Which is quite fun.
And that's them talking about the menu at the restaurant. So.
I think one thing Julian definitely should go back and do and is reformat this book. Because I think people will enjoy this book a lot more if it's readable. Because I enjoyed it. I had the actual physical copy, which is like gold dust. And quite expensive, but Julian.
I think putting the advert later on, if it was midway, I'd have been more accepting of it. But starting with the adverts put me on the back foot immediately.
Midway would have been bonkers.
I'd quite like that, like a little ad break, 15 minutes in.
Yeah, like I was moving on to Aston Villa. This section of the book is sponsored by Clayton.
Yeah,
no,
or like Grammarly is a
15% off Squarespace.
Exactly.
Beds? Yeah, no.
This picture at the beginning of Julian Joachim shaking Clive Turner's hand outside his van, with Clive Turner wearing like giant sunglasses that we didn't mention either as well. Real like Elton John kind of sunglasses. That sold the book to me straight away. I knew that I was going to love this book.
We've definitely fallen into the trap, which is talking mostly about Clive Turner in this, which is exactly
that's what he wanted.
See, I told you this is SponCon and he knows what he's SponCon. Doing.
True. Fair enough. It was SponCon. Rating out of 10.
Oh,
this is a really hard one, actually.
Whoa, 8?
No. Did I say 8? I definitely didn't say 8.
Did you say 8 or A? Like the font. Like a dying font. A.
That's how I want to go. I'm going to say a begrudge. Oh, no. A reluctant 4.
Okay.
4?
Yeah, because it just... it was also quite an annoying book to read. So while I enjoyed it, I did quite...
Oh, I see what you mean. You're reluctant not to bump it out to a 4. You're reluctant to knock it down to 4. I see what you mean.
It's not just a Koenig thing. It's also, there are bits where I'm like, I don't think he knows exactly what the narrative of this book is. So
I would agree with that. But just for the sheer fun, and because he seems like a good lad, I'm giving him 7. Julian. Because I can read the book. I flew through it. I read it on a train and I enjoyed it.
He's doing so well in his life.
The train was good. 7 out of 10. The train.
Getting on a train with books. I know.
Well, we're sitting here in our hovels, reading, squinting at the Kindle version.
I have to say, I do have this book to thank for me meeting all of my new neighbours, because it was on my Kindle and I didn't know where the charger was. So I had to go and knock on the doors of all of them.
Oh.
So, and someone did have a Kindle charger.
I need to read Julian Joachim's book.
Yeah, I did not explain why.
You're reading that book? You must be Joachim.
But then they do all think I'm a bit like, it was the day that I moved in and I was like, please, do you have a Kindle charger? So they're all going to think I'm a total weirdo. However, it did change my life, which is the question that you asked. Oh, so I'm going to say 6.
Wow. It changed my
life.
That
was a roller coaster of an answer.
one of the people that I asked, I took the dog with me because, you know, it makes things easier. One of the people was like, oh, I've always wanted one of them. Do you want me to babysit him? And now she's going to look after him whenever I want. So, yeah.
God, 6. I got so... That is good. I thought you meant I've always wanted one of them being Julian Joachim's book. And then I was like, why would you want to babysit a book? Jimmy Bellwell, what were you saying?
Do you know that he is now the advisor at Europa Point in the Gibraltar National League?
No, I did not.
Just wanted to let you know. Oh, 7.
Seven. Okay. Yeah. I was hoping you're giving me a salsa fact again.
Get another salsa fact.
I do have more of those, but
I won't. We'll save one for the bonus chapter. James's salsa facts.
Salsa death facts is what they are. Yeah.
So what was it? 7, 7, 6, 4. Right?
Yeah.
14, 24 by 4. Ooh, 7.
Oh, bloody. No, that can't be right.
Wait, that's
right.
Six. 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 Six.
Yeah, 6.
Apologies. Bad maths by me. Good. Not bad. Fine. This week on the quiz.
That's how James ends every single podcast, by the way. He hangs up and then goes, good. Not bad. Fine.
This week on the quiz, you are named after services offered by book sponsor Clive Turner.
Oh, no.
Jack, your new roofs. Tash, your ventilation systems. And yes. James, your... James, your new UPVC gutters and fascias, etc.
Let me write that down.
Yeah, that's new UPVC gutters and fascias.
Is that how you say that word?
Fascia. I think so. Yeah, I think it is.
I've never heard it out loud, I don't think. I've only ever seen it.
I am the same, and I went on Google today and did the pronunciation feature. So I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it.
It makes me think
fascia?
Of like a Nokia 3310,
yeah,
you know.
They were called fascias, yeah.
Yeah, fascia.
Was that it? Fascia. What comes after fascia? Anything?
Etc.
I forgot what my name is, by the way.
Clive Turner's number is in the book if you want to ring him and ask him.
Clive, is it fascia?
Are we saying this right, Clive?
Yeah. Jack, you are new roofs.
New roofs, okay.
I think it should be new roofs.
Can we ring him during bonus chapter?
Yes. We cannot. Number one, Julian's nickname is Jockey. But in his early days, what was the other nickname one paper gave to him?
Oh, God.
Half my questions are about nicknames, by the way.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
But fart pants.
close. I'll give you a clue. There's a Brazilian footballer in there.
Oh, hang on. New rules. Sorry.
Dua Lipa.
I got distracted.
Walk in the changing room and fart. Two.
Is it Little Romario?
Yeah.
Yes. Little Romario is correct. Very good. Very good. JB. Well done. That's AJB. That could be anyone.
Thank you. I got new roofs. I've got them.
Oh, very good. Two. What was the other nickname Mark Bosnich gave him?
Ventilation systems.
Yep.
I mean, that nearly works.
It's true.
Is this jockey fart pants?
Correct.
Yes. Correct.
Good.
Natasha Frischko. That is correct. Number three. What trick would Dwight York do to win bets?
Oh, my name, New Rules. New Rules, funny hell.
Yes.
He would, I wrote this down because he said, he would stand a bin and say, bet you I can do 100 keepy uppies, the people who walked by. He'd be in a bin in the dressing room.
Yep. Exactly. He had to be in a bin. He'd bet you 50 quid. He could stay in the bin and do 100 head ups, I think is what he would do.
Well, so it was because the line was, I love Dwight York. He just oozed confidence. He usually get into a bin.
Okay. And finally, what happened at Walsall if you lost 6-0 at table tennis?
Oh, no. I know this. New roofs.
Yep.
You had to run around the changing room naked.
Yeah.
Oh, so the pitch naked.
Yes, okay, that's correct. Yeah. Training pitch naked is correct. And that is it. New roofs, you win. Very good.
Can I push the score up or down?
Oh god, I forgot about that feature. Yeah, sure. Which way?
Down.
0.5 either way. We're knocking down 0.5. Oh, goes to 5.5.
When did
I don't like
come?
This new feature. James chatted it last time.
Giving power.
Jack, you know what you've won? Guess.
Gusts. What?
Guess I said, but yeah. Well, we haven't recorded in a month.
Some UPVC gutter and fascia. I just wanted to say it.
You got Ken's long.
Love it.
There you go. And you've got an extra long one as well this week. Ooh. The ones we all enjoy. To the tune of Only You by Yazoo.
Very nice. Bloody song. Hell.
Yep.
Oh, you've warmed up for this.
Yeah, I'll try and do my best. As the fool comes down from above, it's like a story of love. Can you see him pushing his way into the fray? Defenders left in his wake. The goal goes in. All he needs are the long balls we play. He's all we need to win another game. He's all we ever knew. John Carew.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Ken's on, everybody.
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you once again,
very
Ken.
Well as well. My
it was performed oh, excellently.
Really, really
thank
well.
You very much. I felt like I had a lot to live up to with there. It's going to be very hard to edit together. All those sounds in the background.
How many times do you practice them throughout the
day? I actually did once before? Today. That's a good question, actually. Just to get a little insight. I practiced it once because I forgot how the beginning of the song goes. So I did practice it once.
Yeah, it needs a lot of pacing, that song, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does.
It's a really good song.
It is a really good song. We can all agree on that.
Yeah.
That is it for this week's episode. We'll be back in a fortnight. If you can't, what a giggly episode. I can't. If you can't wait that long, join the Book Club Club on Patreon. Bookworm members of the club get a brand new exclusive bonus chat episode every other week where we chat even more about the book. It's £3.50 to join. Please do, or just support us for one measly pound. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. In the meantime, do get in touch with us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Instagram, at Football Book Club. Send us your thoughts, your author footballer puns, your Ken Zong requests, any suggestions for new businesses that Julian Judge should invest in. I just wanted to do something, guys. I wanted to give a shout out to a podcast that we like. Tom
Is
Crowley.
It Clive Davis?
It's Clive Davis. It's not quite right. Clive Turner.
Yeah. Clive Turner.
It's called Clive Turner's Perfect Roofs. Yeah. Every week he has a new guest on.
To teach them how to roofs.
Yeah. Sometimes there's a bit of cladding. I was going to talk about Crowley Time with Tom Crowley.
It's very good.
It's very good. I know, Jack, you like it. We promoted quite a lot on the show and have adverts for it. Tom's a very funny guy, so we really recommend listening to that. Anyone else got any podcasts they would like to recommend?
Nope.
Jack, aren't you on a podcast?
Oh, I am on a podcast. Yeah, you know, Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Oh, that little thing.
That Taskmaster, yeah. People's podcast. Listen to it, please. Okay. Go on. There's a new series starting soon, coming out in 2 weeks' time. There'll be a new series of Past Taskmaster, and we will talk about it. But also Crowley Time. Go listen to that because it's fantastic.
Yes. And also another one we feature a bit, Exennial Dawn as well.
It is good as well. Actually, Gareth Quinn's podcast. Yeah.
There we go. So big shout out to those two. Crowley Time with him, Tom Crowley, or with me, Tom Crowley, and the Exennial Dome. Go listen to that. We'll be back with a bit of a different episode in the fortnight. The first ever Football Book Club on tour. As we head to Rome with nothing but a tour guide written by a very famous footballer. So look forward to that. Wow. A little bit.
Do you meet anyone over there? Anyone Italian?
We'll have to wait and see, Jack.
That'll be
that is a good question.
You have to wait and see.
Very good. Actually, no last words. Let's end on that.
You sure you don't want to end on a good? Not bad. Fine.
You must be joking. Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Frisco, and James Balgin. It was produced and created by James Bug. Thanks to Julian for writing the book. The music is the work of Silent Partner and is using a Creative Commons 4.0 license. See you in a fortnight for Football Book Club on tour.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.